Blog Talk Radio.
Around the world, the spirit is moving and a voice is being heard. Welcome to the Voice of Evangelism with David Langford. You can write the Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 669, Alexis, North Carolina, 28006. We'll give you that address again at the close of today's broadcast, but here now is David Langford.
Good evening, friends. This is Pastor David Langford. We'd like to welcome each of you today to this edition of the Voice of Evangelism. As always, we welcome you today. We magnify our Lord and our Savior, Christ Jesus, for his bountiful blessings in our personal lives. We thank God for the grace and the mercy that the Lord has bestowed upon us all. Too often people are not mindful of God's grace and God's mercy in their lives. There's a prophecy given in 2 Timothy 3, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful." I wanted to get to that word, unthankful. Regretfully, we are living in an era, a time when people are profusely unthankful. That, my friend, is literal Bible prophecy. Because Paul said, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." And then he goes into a litany of things that people will be. What they are mere descriptive adjectives describing people and their disposition towards God. Not very positive, to say the least. Lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers. Wow. Look at the president. Look at the senators and congressmen who lied and said, "You keep your health care plan, you keep your doctor." Truce breakers. False accusers. They lie, they falsely accuse and make indictments against other people. Incontinent, my. What a true description of this generation. Incontinence, not talking about your bladder. No, that's talking about your sexual desires, uncontrollable sexual desires. Fierce. The word fierce there in the Greek means savages. Savages. Look at the savagery of Islam, the Muslims. Look at the savagery. Look at the savagery relative to Christians in Iraq. And this so-called Christian president says nothing. How deceived can people believe in this man? How? A bald-faced liar twists the truth time and time and time again. He's a truce breaker. He's fulfilling the scriptures, folks. He's a false accuser. He says it's the Republican-controlled House when the Democrats sit there in the Senate through Harry Reid and does nothing to mitigate or to lessen the pain of the people of this nation. Fierce, which, as I said, means savages. Despisers of those that are good. They hate, they loathe, they despise people who do good. Like the little lady over here in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, who gave a 15% discount on people's lunch or dinner tickets, providing they said a prayer before they ate. And these low-life atheists and ACLU sued her, or were going to, let me retract that. They were going to sue her because she was being prejudiced, because she gave people who were Christians and gave a prayer to God. That's not right, they said. Christianity is under an assault from hell. Where are the preachers to stand up and preach against those who are despisers of those that are good? Traitors. What betrayal is manifest in America? Heady, headlong, headstrong. You can't tell them anything. They have all the answers before you even ask the questions. That's what it means to be heady, headlong. Already knowing the answer, rash, brass, high-minded. Oh, well, is that not a description of this generation? High-minded. Yeah, that's where we are today in this nation. And you know, as I keep saying, it's only going to get worse. They are the symbols of pride and arrogancy. Drunk with pride. They said Obama did a speech a few days ago and used the personal pronoun I 90-some times. That's what you call being narcissistic. It's all about me. It also means a heart lifted up not only against man but against God. Remember Lucifer? I will be. I will be like the Most High God. Oh, yeah? Your doom is sealed, Lucifer. I don't remember who, but someone emailed me the other day and said someone was speaking from the Net Bible, N-E-T. Wake up. That's a trap. That's a snare. That's a net. And said that Isaiah was not addressing Lucifer. See, that's the narrow-mindedness / thin theology, playboy mentality who takes and twists the scriptures. As Peter said, they rest or they twist the scriptures to their own destruction and damnation. 2 Peter 3:17, 3:15. That's what they do. They twist. Every time you turn around, they're twisting, manipulating. And you know what's even more sad? So-called honest Christian people are doing the same identical thing. Telling us that the falling away in 2 Thessalonians 2 is the rapture. I thought we were gathering together unto Christ and not falling away. Falling away sounds like departing from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, and speaking lies and hypocrisy. Yeah, that's 1 Timothy 4, 1 and 2. Speaking lies and hypocrisy and having their conscience seared as with a hot iron. If Isaiah 14 does not speak of Lucifer, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. That's where arrogancy comes in. And Paul said, heady. Then he said they would be high-minded, the personification of pride. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. That's true. And having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof from such turn away. Having a form of godliness. Look at today's churches. It's all a form. It's ritualism, litany, liturgy, people talk about the prayer book, this and this and this. James 5:16 said, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Not a prayer book, but a fervent, Holy Ghost, Spirit-filled, fire-baptized prayer will touch the heart of God. It avails much, but not some rhetorical jargon and scribblings in a book. You may be offended by my phrase, scribblings, but true prayer originates from the heart of God. And a man or woman is unctionized to pray in the Holy Ghost. Romans 8:26, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for when we know what we should pray for as we ought, the Spirit itself maketh intercession with groanings which cannot be uttered. I'd hate to think I had to depend upon a prayer book trying to cross the Red Sea. Yeah, I would. I like what David said in Psalms 34:15, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cries. His eyes are on who? The righteous. Even the Pharisees in John 9, verse 31 said, we know that God heareth not the prayers of sinners. They had that much sense, and they were apostate. They were reprobates. They were Pharisees. They were Sadducees. They were bigots. They knew God wouldn't hear the prayer of a sinner. I marvel at people say, oh, I'm a Christian. I know I'm not living right. I'm not doing right, but I'm still a Christian. No, you're not. You're deceiving yourself. You're deceiving yourself. James 1:22. Be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. You don't want to deceive your own self. At least I hope you don't want to deceive your own self. I don't want to deceive myself. I trust you don't want to deceive yourself. But regretfully, we're living in a time when self-deception is proliferating. Thus Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 2, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. He didn't want to be deceived. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 18, Paul said, let no man deceive himself. So don't tell me we cannot be self-deceived. Paul declared it. James declared it. James said, deceiving your own selves. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 3:18, let no man deceive himself. A lot of self-deception taking place, and it's not the devil either. That's a dichotomy in itself. But when you're of your father, the devil, then you will be deceiving your own self. I want to jump in here real quickly and finish up the last two verses of the book of Jude. I didn't get those finished, but I want to finish those today. Jude, verse 24, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Only God Almighty through his sovereignty can keep a man. Only the work of Christ at the cross can keep a man from falling. It is the nature of man to fall, but it is the power of Christ to keep him from falling. There are no works of righteousness that can preserve a man whatsoever. Man's righteousness is sadly deplorable and despicable, if I must say. We are admonished in Isaiah 64, verse 6, but we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags. And we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. Man's religion, man's self-righteousness is a stench in the nostrils of God. Everything that man would dare bring to God is polluted and corrupt through his fallen nature. The truth is, we are all an unclean subject before the Lord of glory. we tried to stand in our own righteousness, he said, we would be revealed as filthy rags. The word filth in the Hebrew speaks of the menstrual flux and the rags that were used by women during their monthly cycle. I'm not trying to be crudely graphic here, only to explain how vile men are. And when they try to present their own self-righteousness before a God that's almighty, there's no man that can stand righteous before God, no matter how much he tries. The Bible is clear, for Paul declared in Romans 3:10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. God's righteousness is very simple, because when the Father sees the blood applied to the heart of the believer, judgment will pass over them. Jehovah told Moses, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. He didn't say, when I see the Sabbath, when I see you eating this or not eating this, when I see you doing this or that. He said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. The Lord even shed innocent blood to make coats of skin to cover Adam and Eve due to their nakedness and their shame. Their self-righteousness drove them to sow fig leaves to cover themselves. Their self-righteousness, however, as with all men, is vain and worthless. Adam's effort was a frail attempt to cover his sin and his personal nakedness. The only righteousness that a man will ever have is from the work of Christ accomplished at Calvary. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Because of the righteousness of Jesus Christ now imparted unto man, he now becomes a new creature, and all things have passed away, and behold, all things are become new. That could never happen through self-righteousness, no matter how hard one might try. Because a man has been washed in the blood and redeemed by the Spirit of God, we can now be presented to the Father through Christ Jesus and be presented blameless. Now that is truly hard to fathom and grasp. Yet Paul declared in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Only by the blood of Jesus Christ can a man be presented to the Father blameless. That is why Jude declares that only Christ is able to keep one from falling. The fact that he is able to keep a man from falling proves he's the only Savior of mankind. The fact he is able to keep us from falling proves his deity and majesty. Only Christ Jesus can present a man blameless, and he will do so with exceeding joy. We will all partake of his glory, and that partaking will be with exceeding joy at the second coming of Jesus Christ. We understand that truth by the words of Peter the Apostle found in 1 Peter 4:12. Beloved, think it not strange or foreign concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you, but rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. Every blood-bought, born-again child of God will partake and experience the same glory that Jesus possesses at his second coming on that resurrection day. To partake of that glory means to be clothed with immortality. This corruption will put on incorruption. This mortal must put on immortality. I look forward to the day when I shall receive my new wedding garment. How about you? Jude, verse 25. To the only wise God and Savior be glory and dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. Jesus Christ personifies wisdom. He knows what is best for each of us on a daily basis. The fact that he is the only wise God is all the more reason to trust him. David declared in Psalms 68, verse 19, blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. He is not only the God of our salvation, but every day he takes the time to load us with his benefits. Paul said that the foolishness of God is wiser than men. How vast is his wisdom? Many times you find yourself in a difficult place. However, do not become discouraged at your circumstances, neither your situation. The reason is declared by Paul in Romans 8:18, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. As a child of God, you must place your circumstances in the balances or the scales of God. Once you weigh your suffering versus the glory that shall be revealed in you, it will be obvious that your suffering is not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in you. In closing, look with me, please, at Genesis 42, verse 36. And Jacob, their father, said unto them, me have ye bereaved of my children. Joseph is not, and Simeon is not. And ye will take Benjamin away. All these things are against me. This truth is very simple. Everything that was happening in Jacob's life was for his good and not his evil. However, from Jacob's natural disposition, he could not see how God for many years had been divinely working on his behalf unknowingly. From Jacob's perspective, he was living a life of bereavement, thinking Joseph was dead, and now Simeon too was gone. Simeon was in prison in Egypt, and he said, you will now take Benjamin away? Jacob was overwhelmed and felt everything was against him. The truth was, everything was working together for his own good. Remember, perception is not always reality. It was not good for Jacob and neither for you. How many times have we thought and believed one thing and then God proved he was doing something greater within our lives? Some of you reading this book feel like everything right now is against you. However, what you cannot see is that God is working to bring you into a better place. May you be patient and trust God for what you cannot yet see. Jacob was not aware that God had sent Joseph before him to prepare a better life for him before he passed away. God is also preparing something better for you right now, though you cannot see it. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2:9, but as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Jacob had not seen, neither heard, nor had entered into his heart what God was doing for him. As a child of God, we all become pessimistic at times, but I trust the Holy Ghost will turn your pessimism into optimism. What a profound statement Jude made when he declared that God, our Lord, is the only wise God and Savior. May you fully embrace this closing word from Jude and hide it in your heart. I love this passage of scripture found in Jeremiah chapter 10, verses 6 and 7. For as much as there is none like unto thee, O Lord, for thou art great, and thy name is great in might. Who would not fear thee, O King of nations? I pray that each of us retains a godly fear and reverence, for there is truly no one like Jesus, the Lord's Christ. Will you choose to fear the King of glory today? The race is not to the swiftest, neither to those who entered first, but those who endure to the end and finish the race which the Lord has set before us all. That is the conclusion of the book of Jude, and I pray that you were immensely touched and blessed by that book and the things that God helped me to write to the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a lot of fear There's a lot of anxiety that is pervading and permeating the world in general. Before I forget it, I'll be on with Joe and Doug Hagman this Wednesday night. Steve Quill and I will be there on their program at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Steve phoned me last night and said that Joe and Doug had gotten emails and phone calls and letters asking me to come on the program, and Doug said he needed to be encouraged and wanted me to come on. So God willing, I'll be there Wednesday night to edify the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Put it on your calendar for this Wednesday night, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We'll be there to share nothing but the Word of Almighty God. As I said just a moment ago, a lot of people are in deep despair as they witness the profuse turmoil that is taking place in this nation. We're dying because of leadership. Let me say that again. We do not possess leadership in this nation. I marvel at the percentage of the people that are dissatisfied with Congress. I think it's up in the 80-some percent are displeased with the Congress. But I just noticed how Lamar Alexander defeated someone trying to get his seat. They say insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results. Not only do we lack leadership, the people of this nation have become insane. The Bible calls it madness. God Almighty, in Deuteronomy 28, said that he would smite people with madness if they disobeyed him. Deuteronomy 28:28, to be exact. The Lord shall smite thee with madness and blindness and astonishment of heart. Thou shalt grope at noonday as the blind gropeth in darkness. Thou shalt not prosper in thy ways. Thou shalt be only oppressed and spoiled evermore, and no man shall save thee. Let me share that passage again. Deuteronomy 28, beginning at verse 28. The Lord shall smite thee with madness and blindness and astonishment of heart. Thou shalt grope at noonday as the blind gropeth in darkness. Thou shalt not prosper in thy ways. Thou shalt be only oppressed and spoiled evermore, and no man shall save thee. I'd say that verse is rather apropos right now in this nation. As Isaiah described in Isaiah chapter 1, the entire head is sick. The entirety of this nation, the embodiment of this nation, the head is sick. And it's astounding because Isaiah was a contemporary to Jeremiah and to Ezekiel and to Daniel. And inspired by the Holy Ghost, Isaiah poses a question. In Isaiah 1, verse 5, why should you be stricken anymore? Why should you be stricken anymore? You will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick. The whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They've not been closed. neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. We saw that in Missouri last night. Your land, strangers devour it in your presence. Look at the border. I'm prophesying. You want prophecy? I'm giving you prophecy today. Your country's desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Your land, strangers devour it in your presence, and it is desolate as overthrown by strangers. There's a stranger in the White House. And don't dare tell me any different. Poor, pathetic Bill O'Reilly said the other day, prove to me he's a Muslim. But Bill says, I don't understand the man. I don't understand where he's coming from. Bill, you're a foolish man. He has no true feelings for this nation because he's not an American. It'd be like me trying to go to Russia and understand those people and understand their heritage and what they've been through Stalin and all these other dictators and have empathy and sympathy and understand what's going on. I don't, because I'm not a Russian. Even Dmitry Dudeman asked God, please don't let me die in America. Let me die in Romania. I could never go to Romania and have the compassion and the understanding as Dmitry Dudeman. Why? I'm not a Romanian. And this man in the White House is not an American. And that's why you see him acting so bizarre and weird. He has no emotional ties to this nation in any capacity. Tell me what he's ever done. The government has bought and paid for everything the man has ever had. Everything. Housing, education, you name it. Where did he ever get a job and work a job like an American citizen working and paying taxes, et cetera, et cetera? He said, well, he pays taxes now. Yeah, but who's paying his salary? He's just giving money back to the government that they took from us. If you can't read the Bible, and by the way, let me hammer this real good. I really feel this. Throw those rotten Bibles away that are not King James. I told you some time ago when I was praying, God, help me to understand what is wrong with all these versions. What's the problem with all these versions that are being printed? I'm a man of simplicity. I want to know. I want to understand. What's wrong with them? God gave me the answer. And he gave me a Bible verse in John 14, verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. Now listen to this. He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. When another man writes it, that's not what Jesus said. So how then can the Holy Ghost bring to your remembrance what Jesus said when you're reading something that Jesus didn't say or Jesus didn't inspire? I was channel surfing the other day, and I ran across Joyce Myers. Now, I'm nobody's fool when it comes to the Bible. I spend more time reading my Bible than books. And I thank God for the people who send me books. But I don't spend but about 5% of my time reading books and 95% of my time reading the Bible. So when I hear something, and I know the scriptures, I know if it's right or wrong, truth or error. And I was listening to Joyce Myers read, and only God in heaven knows what it was. I could not understand one thing she was reading. I sat there for maybe 2 minutes. I thought, what book is she in? What book is she reading? I don't know, because I don't know those things. But I have an unction from the Holy Ghost to know what Jesus said, and that's why you need to stay with what Jesus said and not some other man and some other woman who wrote that mess. My God, I'm preaching today. I've been reading the book of Jude to you for the last 3 or 4 weeks. The preacher's built up. Time to preach. Time to cry aloud. Time to spare not. You wonder why things are like they are. The scriptures have told us. Your country's desolate. Your cities are burned with fires. Look at the raging fires in California. Your land, strangers devour it in your presence, and it is desolate as overthrown by strangers. Strangers are overthrowing this nation. Yes. And the congressional leaders and senatorial leaders and the executive branch and the legislative branch and the judicial branch does nothing about it whatsoever. They're all two-faced, lying hypocrites. You're rather hard today, Pastor. It's burning in my bones like fire. It's unbelievable what we are beginning to embrace, to accept. People won't stand up for anything anymore. I'm tired. I'm sick and tired of these limp-wristed Christians. Oh, you can't say. I'm just preaching the Word of God. And the daughter of Zion is left as a cottage in a vineyard, as a lodge in a garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city. This nation is besieged by strangers and foreigners. Here's the word to the remnant. Except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom and we should have been like unto Gomorrah. Hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom. Give ear unto the law of your God, ye people of Gomorrah. Our leaders of this nation, he calls them rulers of Sodom. I didn't say that. God said that. Give ear to the law of your God, ye people of Gomorrah. Are we not witnessing the signs? Are we not witnessing the fruit, the spirit of Sodom and Gomorrah? Poor old Tim Tebow got ousted, can't find a job, can't play in the NFL. Because he professed to be a Christian. This president will call every Sodomite and laud them and extol them and brag on them because they're Sodomites. Well, let's see, did Isaiah address that subject? I believe he did. Isaiah 5:20, woe to them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness and that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine and men of strength to mingle strong drink. Which justify the wicked for reward and take away the righteousness of the righteous from him. They take away from the righteous. They take away from the righteous. That's what the scripture says. They take away from people who are living and doing right. They take away from the righteous. Therefore, as the fire devoureth the stubble, and the flame consumeth the chaff, so their root shall be as rottenness, and their blossoms shall go up as dust, because they have cast away the law of the Lord of hosts, and despised the word of the Holy One of Israel. Therefore is the anger of the Lord kindled against his people. He hath stretched forth his hand against them, and hath smitten them. And the heels did tremble, and their carcasses were torn in the midst of the streets. For all this, his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. In other words, God's venting anger on this nation, but yet his hand is still stretched out, saying, if you will repent and come to me, I will stop this. And he will lift up an ensign to the nations from afar, and will hiss unto them from the end of the earth, and behold, they shall come with speed swiftly. folks. This is bad. And why is it like this? I just told you. Isaiah 1. Rulers of Sodom, people of Gomorrah. That's what we've become. And you see, they are so duplicitous, they are so deceptive. And see, I'll be considered a preacher of hate, but I'm not preaching hate. I'm not preaching hate. I'm preaching the word of the living God. Now, if you want to call him hate and hateful, go ahead. But I'm preaching his word. See, people don't like the word of God. So they want to take away all the Bibles and the crosses, anything that signifies Jesus. Do away with it. Do away with it. You see, I've told you this time and time and time again. I want to reiterate it. One of the judgments in the earth will be when God allows the Antichrist and the false prophet to be revealed for who they are. I'm going to tell you right now, we're not there yet. We're not there yet. What you saw in Gaza, that's a firecracker. That's all that's been, a firecracker. You say, my God, there's been nearly 2,000 Palestinians killed. That's because of Hamas. Hamas. By the way, while I tell you about Hamas, take your strong, exhaustive concordance. Look up the word violent, violence, or violently. Look it up. I don't want you to think I'm misleading you or lying about anything. Look it up. Look it up in the Hebrew, and you'll find out what it says. Violent, violence, and violently. It's called Hamas. C-H-A-M-A-S, Hamas. Their name tells you they're violent. Their name tells you who and what they are, because I believe in word etymology. Word etymology simply gives you the understanding, the meaning of words. I do my word research. I do the same thing with hurricanes. I can tell you again, because I did the research again this year, that Omar, if we get to the letter O, Omar will be one of the hurricanes this year. But remember in 2008, the last named hurricane was Omar. It formed in the Atlantic Basin, came over toward the eastern part of the United States, did no damage, didn't touch this nation, but it went right out into the Atlantic and on up into the northeastern until it dissipated entirely. God sent us a message in that hurricane. The name of that hurricane was Omar. By the way, if you've got my newsletters, it's all in there. I wrote this in 2008. But Omar, in word etymology, means Islam is flourishing. Islam is flourishing. So I wrote in a newsletter, you'll see Islam flourish all the way to the White House. Now look how Islam is flourishing since 2008. You want Bible prophecy? You want me to tell you about Bible prophecy? He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit of the Lord saith unto the churches. Are you listening? Are you listening to the Holy Ghost? Are you sober? Are you vigilant? Are you diligent? Or are you lukewarm, tepid, indifferent? And let me say it again. What you witnessed in Gaza was a firecracker. That's not the issue. That's not the issue. The issue is Islam from the north and the east, Syria and Iran, and all this hyper talk about Gaza, Gaza, Gaza. See, the devil is shrewd and he's full of chicanery. Got your eyes engulfed in the West Bank and the Gaza Strip. That's not where it's at, folks. That's not where it will be. Because the Bible tells me different. The Bible says that Damascus, Syria, will be destroyed in one day, according to Isaiah 17. Ezekiel 37, 38, 39 tells us that Persia, Iran, will come against Israel. You're not getting the picture. I hate to be so forward today, so unyielding, so adamant, but I feel this in my spirit. I'm preaching today, you might say. Preaching the uncompromised word of God. Let me pick it up in Isaiah 1 and 21. How is the faithful city become a harlot? It was full of judgment. Righteousness lodged in it. But now murderers. Boy, does that not sound like America? How has the faithful city become a harlot, a whore? It was full of judgment. Righteousness lodged in it. But now, murderers, murderers. And let me ask you a question. In Revelation chapter 17, when he said, come out of her, my people. Why does he call that system a whore? Because people are fornicating. I'm going to say something here. If you're not spiritually mature, you won't understand this. And I don't need to hear your hate mail and your arrogant, sarcastic emails, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But in the natural, a man goes into a woman. A woman never goes into a man physically. But the man is always going into the woman. Those who preach the church is the bride of Christ is in absolute error. I've told you time and time again in Colossians 1, Ephesians 1, Revelation 21, 22, the bride is New Jerusalem. The scriptures are clear. They're clear. So the church is the body of Christ. He's the head. See, that's a mystery. I know it's difficult for some to grasp. Mysterion is the actual Greek word, mystery. Ephesians chapter 5, 2 Thessalonians 2, 1 Corinthians 15. The word mystery is used many, many times. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall all sleep. Paul talked about a husband loving his wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for. He said, behold, I show you a mystery. And then Paul said, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work, 2 Thessalonians 2, 7. So the word mysterion is all through the entirety of the scriptures. So some will get it, some won't get what I'm saying, and that's not my problem. I can't help if you don't get it. But the church is the body of Christ. It's in the masculine and not feminine mindset. Romans 8, 9, Paul said, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's a new creature. We're neither male nor female. I don't want to get into the book of Galatians, but that's where you'll find that. So what's Paul saying? What's Revelation telling, asking us, come out of her, my people? It's a religious system. It's a harlot. It's a whore. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon, the great, the mother of harlots and the abominations of the earth. So you've got to come out of the religious system, Revelation 18, verse 4. And I heard another voice from heaven say, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, the whore, and that ye receive not of her plagues. Again, whore, her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven. For her, the harlot, the whore. Reward her, the harlot, even as she, the harlot, rewarded you. And double unto her, the harlot, double according to her works, the harlot. and the cup which she, the harlot, hath filled to fill her double. Her again, talking about a whore. How much she, the whore, the harlot, hath glorified herself. Feminine, feminine, feminine. You got to come out of her. It's not a location physically, it's a spiritual application. These people who are running, fleeing, going here, going there, God have mercy on you. You don't trust God. You don't believe God. Look at those poor souls in Iraq that fled to a mountain. That typifies Matthew 24. Hello? Matthew 24. When you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whosoever readeth, let him understand. Then let them be, which be in Judea, flee into the mountains. Now that was not the abomination of desolation. And by the way, Jesus is not coming in September of 2017, sir. You're wrong. When the limousine that Obama was in broke down in the Middle East just because its name is called the Beast, that's not the abomination of desolation, and that's not the beast, the mark of the beast, none of that stuff. I've never seen so much crazy stuff in all of my life. Nobody wants to listen to what God's Word has to say. I've never seen such junk. I mean, junk, 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 junk. God help me, somebody emailed me today and was trying to tell me there was inerrancy in the Word of God. Sir, you're not even saved if you believe that. I believe God's Word is infallible, immutable. It doesn't change. And it's not full of error. Jesus said, you do err, not knowing the Scriptures nor the power of God. Don't tell me the Word of God is full of error. I don't want to get into the compound probability of all the things, the prophecies that have already been fulfilled just through the mere birth of Jesus Christ. Unbelievable. So we look at the dome. At the Capitol, we look at the Catholic Church, the dome, it's shaped like a uterus. These typify a uterus of a woman. Why are they designed like that at the Vatican and at the White House, the Congress? Why? It's a system. It is a religious, ungodly system. He said, come out of her, my people, that you do not be a partaker of her. And I just went through a litany of hers and herself and she. It's not a place. Jeremiah 3, verse 3. Therefore the showers have been withholden, there hath been no latter rain, and thou hast a whore's forehead, and that refuses to be ashamed. You know, I've come to conclude the problem with today's churches is as elementary and simple as can be, and yet people are looking for something different. Let me tell you the simplicity of all of this. I will simplify this for you under the auspices of two fundamental subjects. Number one, the Word of God. Number two, the Holy Ghost. Did you get that? Number one, the Word of God. Number two, the Holy Ghost. When you don't abide by the Word and you don't have the baptism in the Holy Ghost, when you don't have the Spirit of Christ in your life, you don't understand what's going on fully. Why did Paul admonish us? Why did Jude admonish us? Pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Why? Because the Holy Ghost is the one who unctionizes and gives divine understanding. And what does he give divine understanding to and about? He gives divine understanding to and about the Word of God. Because Jesus said the Holy Ghost, the Comforter, will bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said. So to me, it's not hard to put it together. It's, as Paul said in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 5, that in everything ye are enriched by him in all utterance and in all knowledge. You see, today you're getting utterance and knowledge from the Word of God. And these things, as Paul said, enrich you. Read it again, 1 Corinthians 1:5. You need to write these verses down when I give them to you many times. Or go back and re-listen to the program and get all these verses. That in everything ye are enriched by him, in all utterance and in all knowledge. Even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that ye come behind in no gift. You come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Some of you behind. You're way behind. You better get in the Word of God. We're not nowhere near there yet, but we're getting there. And just like the word the Lord gave me 3 years ago, January, acceleration, it's accelerating. And I will be as candid and honest as I know. That doesn't mean something catastrophic won't happen in the next little while. I'm looking for 2015 to be a real year of events. That's another ending of a seven-year cycle that you've heard me preach about. If ministers and people you're listening to do not line up with the Word of God, don't waste your time listening to it. Don't waste your time reading it. If it's not biblically sound, throw it in the trash can where it belongs. Throw it in the trash can where it belongs. I love what one prophecy we have in Jeremiah 3, verse 15. I love that verse because I literally pastored for 27 years. But Jeremiah 3, verse 15 says, "And I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding." God's faithful to give good pastors. No, I'm not patting myself on the back, God forbid, but I'm telling you, God still has men who are honest, men who still retain spiritual integrity, men who don't twist, manipulate, lie on the Scriptures. They don't lie on God. They don't lie about subjects. They just tell the truth. You know why? Because they're pastors according to his heart. And Numbers 23 says, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. God's ministers that are true ministers will not lie to you. They will not deceive you. They will not manipulate you. They will not shake you down for money. They'll love you and tell you the truth. God bless you. I'll see you tomorrow at this same time in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God.
The Voice of Evangelism with David Langford is brought to you by the faithful listeners and supporters throughout America. If you're looking for an uncompromising message, we invite you to tune in each week to The Voice of Evangelism. For more information, write to The Voice of Evangelism, P.O. Box 669, Alexis, North Carolina, 28006. That's P.O. Box 669, Alexis, North Carolina, 28006.
Night.